The breath sinks the body into the moment, no effort required. You need not change anything. No adjustments necessary. Some might just come forth organically. The shoulders might shift their alignment a little bit. The eyes close, perhaps. The breathing deepens as we begin to entrain with this group energetic. Your body feels the connection with the merging with the morphic field of our group, this group energetic. And the sort of cascade of embodied presence, it just happens, it just unfurls itself. The softening, the opening, the relaxing, the deepening of the breath. Probably the slowing of the little zinging bits of information in the neural net. Probably, but not necessary. The remembrance that we are called to do this, you are called to do this, to sit, to lie down, to listen to this, and the aspect of you that calls you to this is your true nature. It is your expanded self. It doesn't have to be these weekly offerings that I put forth, anything like this. It is your true nature that calls you. And the very fact that you're doing this, that the little fussy and futsy little human aspect does not have the power to drag you away and convince you that other things are more important and so, and you might be smiling because it might be, you know, days since this has come out and you have in fact been doing that, procrastinating and doing other things and being distracted for days and days and days, but you're here now. You're here now. So good. Last week we spoke about the power of, and dare I say, the necessity of doing one thing. It was called one thing. That in the flow of the human aspect, navigating the horizontal plane, as it were, of our lived reality in the manifest realms here, in the process of that, the necessity of doing one thing a day to connect consciously and expand into, if possible, this true aspect of your being. So remember, you are not the little human aspect that is trying to reconnect to your higher self or something like that. No. Because you are the vast, beautiful, pristine, blazing container of light within which this tiny little human construct emerges in the first place. Remember that. And every every thought, every impulse, every memory, all of that arises within that sort of plasmic pool of source light that is you. So trust me, there's no grasping involved in that. That is a capital I illusion. And so today it is as though we are going to be refining things a little bit, meaning looking at thoughts. And I have a feeling we're probably going to circle around to this many times, from different directions, different aspects. And this isn't going to be so much about, here's tools and tips to, you know, control the mind, or tips and tools to access your higher self and things like that. That's a bit of an old energy paradigm. It's not necessary. What is more in line with the energetics and the rapidity with which energy is flowing, things are moving, timelines are jumping. Well, we're kind of jumping the timelines, but you know what I mean. Probably this will be more about coming to an awareness or an expanded way of looking at it. Dare I use the term a higher truth, a higher iteration of the truth of what is thought and that type of thing. And that awareness will just shift you, just like that. Your coordinates in the quantum field will shift suddenly. And you and all of the aspects of you, all the way down to the human neural net and the biochemistry and all of that, are going to then shift to reflect your new coordinates in the quantum field. So, for example, about thought. So many spiritual bodies of philosophy and practice. So many point to the necessity of returning to or touching in with and expanding into a state of spaciousness and stillness, silence. The still pool, the vast, infinite awareness. What if thought was not actually a part of our true nature? You know, there's some back in the day, oh boy, was it sort of like spiritualist philosophy? Where they would talk almost in terms of that, you know, God is mind energy, the universe is mind energy, and it's all thought, and everything, you know, is about thought. And it's very interesting. What if thought is not actually a part of your true nature? I know. It's hard for, so here we go. It's hard for the mind, the human construct, to imagine something beyond thought. And so thoughts are probably going to arise. Well, that would be boring. Well, what's that going to be like? There's nothing there. It's just like empty space. It's just that the human construct cannot even imagine it. And even if we did, we would have to try to explain it using thought and words. So this is a little bit abstract, but just inviting us to feel into that, start to as though tip into that. So here's what I think. I know. What are we going to do? We have to language this somehow. As we navigate our way through this, there's invariably going to be some degree of just flailing as we sort of try to get through this, but we've got to use the tools we have. So we've got this, you know, this relatively brilliant neural net and the brain and thought and all of that. In the vast infinitude, the almost unimaginable to our little human brain, almost unimaginable vastness and depth and breadth and spaciousness and frequency, of the quantum, the field, source, all light, whatever you want to call it, whatever feels right for you, whatever gives you that expanded feeling, call it that for now. What makes sense to me is that there are absolutely pulses of information, frequency, vibration. And vibration is, you know, literal vibration, oscillation, undulation, ululation, sound. And that when we are incarnate in the manifest realms here, the way we currently express in that sort of the third, fourth dimensional bandwidth, the tool that we, with the little receiver, the little lightning rod that we have for that vastness and awesome complexity of vibration and frequency and light and energy, the little receiver that we have for that is the little brain. And so, to me, it is that this little construct of our neural net, our wiring, and even we could go beyond that into the finer, lighter aspects of even the human body's expression, the energy bodies, the emotional body, the sort of outer psychic edges of our biofield. Because that obviously, of course, receives and transmits information, waves. But still, it is very small, and dare I say, let's just say it's rather a crude and clunky little bit of machinery, meaning the brain. And it translates these massive quantum waves, patterns, geometries. That are just infinite in their richness of meaning and power and profundity. And so it interprets that as little thoughts. And it is, I don't have to tell you, it's inadequate to the task, of course. the aspect of you, the expanded aspect of you that is not anchored in this little human incarnation right now. It is innately swimming, bathing, submerged, subsumed, dissolved happily into that vast, deep quantum field, moving energy the way you are used to moving energy. But once we have identified with the part that is here on Earth and has this personality, and again, this perceptual apparatus, the brain and the nervous system and all of that, it's hard for us to imagine that stillness, spaciousness, infinite. Infinitely aware, infinitely conscious. Then we add the layer of one of the unfortunate realities of this third, fourth dimensional bandwidth on planet Earth, which is the fact that it is a hijacked planet. And this is what part of what ascension is, the way the ascension process is unfolding on this planet, and the mission that a lot of us have come forth from the realms of light to this planet to do, is it has to do with the reclamation of this planet and the upliftment of planet and all beings on the planet back into the realms of higher vibrational and dimensional frequency set points. So within the structure, this lower, denser structure of the hijacked aspect of this planet, it means that, let's just say, a great deal of the thoughts that are pinging around between our ears and in our fields, they're not actually ours. You know that. You've heard that before, you've said it before, but we want to really get this. Because, Master, it is time for us to start to let go of our attachment to thoughts a little bit more. There's been a lot of stuff I know coming up, a lot of our identities and senses of self, memory. Memory is a big one, and we could probably do a whole talk just on that. A lot of this is coming up because it's dissolving. It isn't you. It doesn't match your frequency anymore. It can't go with you where you're going. So even, it is quite common, if we were to dip into that tips and tricks and tools and things like that, and you know, I for one can still feel the veracity, I can still feel how this will be of benefit as we navigate the sort of the hinterland, the crunchy bits here, which is that we would endeavor to notice the thought, and if it was a quote-unquote negative thought, then we would very quickly switch to a positive thought. That, as I said, I can still feel. For me personally, I can still feel, yeah, that can have some benefit, definitely. It's still keeping us turning and turning and turning in the realm just of thought, which is still the realm of the human construct. Now, certainly, if you find your mind just barreling down a set of train tracks that are goofy and dark and tragic and dense and you know, violent, like who knows, there's all kinds of pieces of information and thoughts, again, malevolently wanting to be implanted into our brains, being broadcast to us. But who knows what you might have seen in the past or thought or anything like that. If that is coming up, then absolutely, to me, one needs to fall back on some of the really good third, fourth dimensional things like discipline. Like you step in and say, stop it, enough. And then you assert your sovereignty over those truant little thoughts. And you redirect. And you say, me, the sovereign being expressing through this human construct, I decide what we think. I decide what I place my attention on. So that's actually a very powerful thing to do. So if you are at the place where those sort of darker, more chaotic feeling like out of control, where you go, what do I think? Where is this coming from? And this is actually happening for a lot of us, for most of us. A lot is coming up. We could talk about this from a number of different levels, actually. The idea of the dimensional sort of collapse slash merge slash dissolution. Let's just say there's a lot of different energies in the mix right now swirling around. And we're picking up on a lot of stuff. A lot of it is not yours. So absolutely have that tool in your back pocket and be ready to bring that forward when necessary. You stand in your sovereign divinity, in your divine sovereignty. And you assert that over the little aspect of your mind that's been hijacked temporarily and is streaming these thoughts. But how about this? More and more, and it's so interesting, it's like we're back to this ancient sort of Zen. My association with this is with Zen. You might have another, but it's in a lot of different traditions. We come back to notice the thought, don't try to do anything one way or the other. Know that you are infinite awareness. Know that you are pure, spacious, effulgent presence. Know that you are love incarnate. And just rest there without even the need to produce thoughts. Now, I find that what works for me, sometimes I still will produce a thought to help me to sort of tip over. And then I just sort of as though fall back into the spaciousness. And so it might be exactly what I just said. I am love incarnate. Expanding into infinite awareness. Hallelujah. And so sort of using thought, perhaps it might come much more easily for you. just tipping into the spacious awareness, even if it's just for 6 seconds, for 10 seconds. And remember this, so this is a little bit different than normal meditation or classic meditation. When the thoughts arise, have nothing to say about them. I don't know about you, but back in the day, the early days, trying to meditate, invariably when the thoughts would arise, there would be then a secondary stream of thought, a sort of commentary, sort of self-defeating, like, oh God, there it is again. I suck at this. I suck at meditation, man. I'm the worst meditator everywhere, anywhere, anytime. And, you know, and on that would go. So still hooked into that. Just holding loosely, holding gently, and eventually not holding at all to the thoughts. What if thought really is more just a trapping of a way that energy moves, information moves in these realms? It is not actually a part of who you are. The more expanded levels. Now, after all that being said about thought, what was interesting was when I first sat down, the initial message was a little bit of an extension, perhaps, of last week, which about do one thing a day. And it was actually a little, I know it's funny, I'm going to almost contradict everything I just said, but it was like a little tip. But again, to work with that more subtle aspect that we're working with of thought. And that sort of one thing that you can do. Maybe you can do it every day. That would be wonderful. And it is this, something that I try to do. At least once a day, if I'm talking to someone, or it might be, you know, with a tree, whatever, could be even an object or a being, especially a being that I'm interacting with, a cat, a plant in the garden, a tree, a person at the grocery store. At some point in the interaction, just to myself, I say, you are love incarnate. I am love incarnate. And together we co-create a pattern of joy in the quantum field. Imagine how that changes your pattern and the coherence of your heart field. Perhaps you would want to try that, even just the essence of it. Even if it's just in yourself, I am love incarnate. Yes, you are. You are love incarnate. Yes, you are.